Good afternoon. It's a little after 4 p.m. I'm Megan Tackett, and you are listening to Everything Under the Sun, our little half-hour news show every Thursday afternoon, where we just kind of discuss what was going on in this week's edition of the Soper Sun. Joined with me is my editor-in-chief, Will Grandbois.
Howdy. Put on my mic, why don't you?
Minor details. And Cheryl Bartow, founder of Smiling Goat Ranch.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here today, Cheryl. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Cheryl, since you're here, we might as well just kind of dive right in. Can you introduce our listeners out there to Smiling Goat Ranch? Because it's not just your typical ranch, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. We use animals in the natural environment to help children with autism and veterans with PTSD.
Excellent. So how does that work? Specifically, what kind of animals are involved in this?
Well, we have quite the crew, but the biggest player are the horses. We have large horses and we have two mini horses. And we also use goats and dogs. There's a barn cat who wanders around and bunny rabbits. And it is just an all around happy place to be. Oh, and I forgot the dogs.
The dogs were amazing. Too.
Yes.
Sounds like quite the menagerie.
It is. It is. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was so surprised to come to Smiling Goat Ranch and realize what a equine therapy centric.
Yes. Yes. So what we do is use the horses to help produce the feel-good hormone of oxytocin. And so you can get that hormone from dancing, from rocking in a rocking chair, swinging on a porch on the swing. There are lots of ways to elicit oxytocin. And the reason we do that is to calm the nervous system. Somebody with autism has a lot of stress in their lives, and we all have a lot of stress, let's face it. But when you are on the autism spectrum, you have a brain that's flooded with cortisol. And what we try to do is reverse that by producing oxytocin in the child's system so that they can be calmer and be open to learning.
Yeah, so I loved seeing just the different positions that you were putting people
yes.
in. And that was very specific. That was to release the psoas muscle,
it
correct?
It was, yes, yes. And that is what we call our sensory work. And in that particular exercise, we use a horse that has no tack on it but a halter. And you pretend the horse is a big sofa. And you lay on his back, on his neck. And you are very much supported by volunteers who are on either side of you, and it's really relaxing. We have had both children and adults fall asleep while they have been in these three different positions, and I think one of the most favorite positions is facing backwards on the horse, and we call it the butt hug, and you are laying on the back of the horse. And do you want to guess what our record is for the person falling asleep the longest?
I think I would be cheating because I think a volunteer
told
me that.
You
right?
This. Yes. Will, what do you think?
I don't have a mic anymore.
Oh, okay. Will doesn't have
there
a mic.
There we go.
The record in time or the record?
The record in time.
1 minute, 30 seconds.
Longer.
Okay.
We had a veteran fall asleep in the butt hug position on the back of the horse for 2 hours.
Oh, not that how long it took, but how long they stayed asleep.
How long they stayed
asleep.
That's
spectacular.
It was really, really powerful.
And something I wasn't able to include in the article this week, but I thought was really interesting was, you know, I kind of grew up around horses, and none of the horses I grew up around would have tolerated that for an instant.
Yes.
So much like a service dog goes through training, these horses aren't just plopped out there.
They are not. No. And they start with a minimum of 16-week training program. And we use Western saddles, when we are working our play dates, and the horses are trained more in dressage to be athletes, because often we are cantering with the child, and so the horse is carrying two people and they need to be super fit to do this. So part of that process also, we take very particular care in the personality of the horse that we pick. Horses are very similar to humans. Their personalities run the gamut, and not every great horse is a great sensory horse. Also, that same horse may not be a back riding horse. So we audition them and figure out who's best at what.
Cool. Cheryl, we did this story right around now for a specific reason. What can you tell me about what's kind of new and noteworthy at Smile and Goat?
Yeah. So we started the program with the intention of serving the autism community. And we kicked off in 2015, and we learned that the PTSD brain is very similar to the autism brain, along with ADD, anxiety, depression, trauma. These brains are all flooded with cortisol. And so our work works for anybody with neurosensory issues. PTSD world, we started to serve veterans, and we have found amazing results. There was a study done recently and nationally that 1 hour, six times for a veteran with PTSD working with horses plummets their PTSD levels just hanging out, being with the horses.
Wow. And that's mostly just because that cortisol hormone, that consistent flooding of cortisol, keeps people kind of in an eternal fight or flight.
Yes. Stance. Yes.
Got it. Now, how did you come from, we talked about this a little bit, this idea of working with the veterans, and you started very much with the board of directors for the Western Slope
Veterans Coalition.
Right.
Yes.
That was always sort of in the plan, though, right? Because of
Colonel Dick Merritt. I'm sure many listeners out there know the Colonel, who lives in Basalt, and he is a force of nature. He's a Vietnam vet. And at the same time I was forming Smiling Goat, he was introduced to me and had this vision about incorporating equine therapy into the veterans work he does. So he sits on the board of Huts for Vets and brought that group to us last summer. And then we expanded this summer to work with the Western Slope Veterans Coalition, which is based here in Glenwood Springs, serving veterans all on the Western Slope.
And there's a high population of veterans on the Western Slope.
There is. And there's also a wonderful group in Montrose called Welcome Home Montrose. And they have become a model on how communities can help not only welcome veterans back, but help them get back on their feet, help them with job training, help them find jobs, help them with social gatherings. They're absolutely amazing. And we've actually gone over and met with them. And we are hoping to have some groups from Welcome Home Montrose come over and participate as well.
Oh, wow. So you have, just in the effort to expand your outreach to the veterans community here, you have a couple of sort of veterans days slated.
We do. The next one with openings is September 9th. And so the wonderful thing is our community is so amazing. We have a group called Community Health Initiatives, which has underwritten our ability to be able to provide this for free to veterans. So any of you veterans out there listening, we would love to hear from you. You can email me or call me. My email's Cheryl with an S at smilinggoatranch.com. And we have a really simple application that you complete and would love to have you. I think the other piece that makes us different from other services is we actually involve the entire family. And so we want anybody living with a special need, the entire family is affected, but usually the attention is all focused on the person that has a special need, whether it's autism or PTSD. And what we've found with the veterans families, PTSD affects spouses, affects children, and we want everybody to come and enjoy the benefits. So the sensory work, the hanging out with the small animals, being in the natural environment. I mean, we live in the beautiful Roaring Fork Valley. You'd be surprised how many people are not getting out there and enjoying it, are depressed, stuck behind a TV screen or a computer screen, and just getting them out in an environment that has no sensory triggers out in nature.
No, I think that's great. And I personally did a lot of research for the article. And, you know, the horse boy method that you employ in your equine therapy, I mean, it's recognized by 20 different countries right now. It serves tens of thousands of people around the world. What happens if someone shows up to your ranch and they're afraid of horses? They've never been on a horse.
And we have that happen. And that's okay. And we've had people who have never been on horses before. And we have one wonderful rule, and that's follow the child, follow the adult. So if you come in and you're terrified of horses, we can introduce you to a mini horse, or you don't have to go near the horses. You can commune with the goats or hang out with the dogs. It's whatever is going to help calm you. And we actually had one little boy on the autism spectrum who started with us from day one. From Glenwood Springs, his father had done tons of research on the horse boy method, knew what the positive effects would be, and his son would not get on the horse. It took 2 years and 9 months, and he watched another child get on, and all of a sudden, he was ready, and it worked.
That's amazing. So in addition to the therapeutic benefits of being out in this environment with the animals, there's also kind of this community cultivation happening.
Yes, yes. And it's such a beautiful thing. Often when you get this diagnosis, you feel like you've been hit in the stomach with a baseball bat. And no matter where you are on the spectrum with autism or what levels of PTSD you have, it's still a devastating diagnosis, if you will. And you often feel isolated, or parents feel isolated, and you feel alone. And what we are doing is creating a community where people feel safe. With autism, there are often major temper tantrums, and it's a huge ordeal to go to the grocery store and buy groceries because your child is having a temper tantrum and everybody's staring at you like, do something about that. When you come to Smiling Goat and your child has a temper tantrum, we know how to handle that, and it's okay and it's welcome.
That's awesome. So for any of our veterans that are listening right now,
yes,
if they decide to follow up and they come to the September 9th day, is that kind of a one and done, or is there an opportunity to continue treatment if you felt, you know, something resonating there?
Yes, there's absolutely an opportunity for treatment. And I think what makes our program different is that we do everything on a very customized scale. And so we'd love to, like, our perfect vision would be to have two families coming at the same time where they can meet each other, exchange the experience. But you also, if you're private and you don't want anybody else around, you can come on your own. That works too.
Awesome. Well, Will, did you have anything to add? Anything I didn't ask about Smiling Goat Ranch that we think we should have?
No, I think you covered it quite well. Thanks, Cheryl, for joining us. Again, feel free to stick around.
Yeah.
I should let folks know that this is Kitty and Kay, commercial-free since 1983. Underwriting on Kitty and Kay is an effective way to market your business. Reach your friends and neighbors in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond with Kitty and Kay's reasonable underwriting packages, including Mountain Fair Light Broadcast underwriting. Maybe next year, I'm guessing on that one. Email Greg@kdnk.org. Also, in-kind support comes from Cardinal Rotary Club, announcing their first ever Running of the Balls fundraiser. Up to 100 big rubber balls will get blown down Main Street during First Friday, September 7th. Win a grand prize of $5,000. Tickets are already available through the Carbondale and Mount Soapers Rotaries and Youth Zone, Ascendigo, or Soul Theater participants. Details at rotarycarbondale.org. This is a call-in show, just in case anybody out there is listening and wants to share something. 963-2976. Talk to us about the paper. Talk to us about what's not in the paper. Like, we didn't really mention that whole fire in Glenwood and the traffic fiasco after it, because we went to press before it was resolved. So if you have an interesting story to share about your time there, feel free. Again, 963-2976. Otherwise, we got a lot more in the paper to talk about. Megan, you put out three stories this week. Tell us about your political coverage over the last last few weeks, and as well, you know, you've had a chance to talk to a couple of state candidates. Mm-hmm. How's that been?
You know, it's been really refreshing, actually. It's just so nice to see such an emphasis on civic duty and civic engagement, both when I spoke with Phil Weiser and then this past week when I spoke with Diane Mishbush, who is challenging Scott Tipton for the House of Representatives seat in Washington, D.C. You know, I was really impressed. There was sort of a fundraising event in a private home that I attended before having a one-on-one with her. And, you know, there were probably about 50 people there that were just supporters. And she had her support staff there as well. And not all campaigns are created equally, if we're being honest. And this one was such a well-oiled machine. And no matter who I spoke to, I kept asking, I was expecting to get a lot of feedback about issues, right? I thought this was going to be a very issue-centric discussion with the voters that had attended, and it wasn't. It was all about, you know, no, we know we agree with her on the issues. What we care about is voter mobilization. How do we empower people? And I got a lot of accusatory tones to me specifically, by the way, as a 32-year-old, like, how do we talk to young people? Where's your generation? Why aren't you voting in the midterms? So, you know, it was interesting. It was very political in nature, of course, but it was less partisan than I was expecting, because really the emphasis from everybody was, we just need to mobilize voters. And, you know, the midterms in particular are notoriously neglected. So that seemed to be overwhelmingly the message from, you know, the electorate that was present. And then when I spoke to Diane, she has, of course, served as in the state house. So she already has some political gusto behind her. But she's really built her reputation on bipartisanship. I really went down the rabbit hole and looked at the substantial number of bills that she has sponsored and co-sponsored, and I don't think I came across a single one in my research that didn't have a Republican co-sponsor. And so, you know, when I was speaking to her, we definitely talked on some of the issues that she thought was going to be important, but one of the biggest was addressing that, and I think it's fair to say, toxic levels of almost tribal partisanship in national politics these days. And she really was like, you know, a lot can be solved over a cup of coffee. If you just break the lack of institutionalized opportunities to get to know your colleagues on the other side of the aisle, if you make that a mainstay of your approach, then, you know, there's more common ground to be had than I think we're led to believe these days. And that was really refreshing. That was a nice conversation.
Yeah. Just so folks know, we are planning on covering any candidates, you know, major candidates that stop through Carbondale, have an event in Carbondale in particular. We do not have the manpower to get up to Basalt. I know Jared Polis is going to be up there, I think, next week. You know, we can't get to Glenwood. They have dailies. They can handle it. But we are going to try to be really consistent about our coverage for the folks who are here in Carbondale. Cheryl, you were smiling over there. So I'm guessing, given your experience in the last year, that you have an opinion or two about the state of the political system. We don't necessarily need to sound off on politics, but
right.
Anything you'd like to add?
Well, I love hearing Megan's feedback, because I was not at that event. And for the listeners who don't know, I am married to Carl Hanlon, who was Diane's challenger in the primary. And wow, what an experience to campaign throughout the state. And this district, the 3rd Congressional District, is massive.
Yes.
And it includes Pueblo and Durango and Grand Junction. And talk about, like, we could say these are different planets. And the fact that they're all in the same district, and whoever gets elected to Congress needs to be able to communicate with all of those different folks and what their needs are. And the issues that are important to Pueblo and important to Grand Junction and important to Carbondale, right? So it's, I admire anybody who puts their hat into the ring to do this. It is not easy. No. It is, your life is under a magnifying glass. And I've also met Phil Weiser when he's come through here quite a bit. And I think we are so fortunate to have incredible candidates like this out there representing the people. So my perspective, I had never been politically active before Carl threw his hat into the ring. And after this experience, I thought, well, why haven't I been? This was really incredible. And even though Carl didn't emerge as the winner, I still feel like he made a difference and that he had a great platform. And he and Diane were really not that far off on their views. And so now it's, you know, what's the next phase? And I don't know what that is other than we want to be part of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's such an interesting perspective that you bring to that conversation, especially. And that was, it's funny you said that you've never put your hat in that political ring before. That was something else that I heard echoed during that event. Even one of the co-hosts, when he was addressing the crowd, had said, you know, I've never been a political person, but, you know, this time, I don't know, there's something different about it. And now that I'm in, I don't see myself turning back.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of getting involved politically, there's a reason we juxtaposed these two stories on page 12 and 13, I think I'm looking at here. Petitioning. I mean, that's been if you did want to get involved, if you are a person who wants to put something on the ballot and get involved in the system, you might not be able to do that everywhere, depending on who you ask, right?
Yes, exactly. And that was interesting to me, because you always think mountain fair, warm, fuzzy. Certainly there's no controversy involved with that. And yet that wasn't the case. There's just some legal gray area was the term that kept getting repeated to me, no matter whom I spoke with about this. But essentially, and this is not limited to mountain fair, this is happening all over the state in events, but there's some question about, you know, First Amendment rights and getting involved in the ballot initiative process that is your right as an American citizen. And in this case, we're talking specifically about gathering signatures on petitions to, you know, get a ballot measure on the November election. But just because a place is a public place, in this case, Soper's Park for Mountain Fair, it's an ideal place if you're trying to collect signatures. That's an ideal place to go, right? But technically, the town leased that park to Carbondale Arts for Mountain Fair. And so when an entity has leased a public space for, yes, a public event, but it's still something that they're very much managing and branding, if it's not their wish to have that kind of activity happening within the confines of the perimeters of their event, do they have the right to say no to that? That's a question that hasn't really been addressed in a clear manner, so much so that the town has actually asked its legal team to give them a ruling on this, because it's not just Mountain Fair. You know, the Carbondale Farmers Market, for instance, would not allow a certain campaign to have a booth because they were told it was too political in nature and they don't want the political activity during the farmers market because they don't think that that's the appropriate avenue. So we're waiting. We were told by the town that that decision is pending likely next week-ish, but certainly no concrete deadline for that decision. So, you know, if listeners, again, we are a call-in show, 963-2976. If you have opinions about, you know, petitioners' right to collect signatures on public spaces during a sanctioned event, by all means, we would love to hear your opinion. And there has not been a legal ruling on it, but there was definitely some disagreement. And to be fair, even when I spoke to Amy Kimberly about it, she acknowledged that, you know, she apparently was not she, but Carbondale Arts, there were some threats of lawsuits and legal activity that they didn't want to engage in. And so she acknowledged, she's like, yeah, there's no way to enforce this policy. But at the same time, you know, most people involved in Mountain Fair in this town are politically active all the rest of the year. And we just want Mountain Fair to be a break. So it's not really a matter of can they do it? It's should they, for her. And that's her perspective.
Okay. We've got just about a minute left here. So lots of other things in the paper this week. You know, the cover addresses the ongoing water issues. I wrote a story on Rams football, which has been reduced to a junior varsity status and may not even get that if they can't get 15 kids to go out for it. Only two high schoolers showed up for practice on Monday. So they have about till next Monday to rustle up the rest, or they start not being able to participate in games. We certainly always check our calendar. We've got Our Town One Table coming up not long here. You have August until 15th. Monday to reserve your seat by contacting Jamie over at the town. Debbie Brule put together something on Roaring Fork School District, and it's tweaks to discipline using restorative practice, the list goes on. And I've blocked Megan's access to the mouse. But anything else either of you'd like to add? I think we got to let the Valley Voices folks in here.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a good paper. I appreciated the cover thing about the water rights too. It was a good photo.
All right, thanks
Happy
for joining
Friday.
The show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks, guys.